about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
So I'm up. I'm ready for an exciting show. I can't wait for the live Kevin and Bean show. So don't let me down.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Have you ever wanted to lick your cat?
Would you believe a girl from L.A. would love Bill Withers?
Here's the thing. I don't know, and I don't care.
I do not understand what is going on right now at all.
You sound so ignorant with your generalization.
Yeah, what was up with that?
Radio on dirt, 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 dirt. Radio on dirt, 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 dirt. Radio on dirt, 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 dirt. Oh, hail Supreme Leader Kevin.
And now.
What I love to think about this is it's a puzzle. And each of every one of us is an integral piece that puts a big picture. And once we're all together, it puts a big picture. So it lets us to see the big picture. Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Monday morning, the 8th of October.
Excuse me. Where have you been?
Sorry.
Rocktober. Right? So you've missed all of Rocktober so far. So you got to get up to speed, man.
Sorry, man.
Welcome back, Kevin.
What's happening, Window Liquors?
It's great to see you. Many of our listeners are very concerned whenever one of us is out on holiday. They are convinced that the show has broken up. They are convinced that mom and dad are fighting.
Wait a minute. Just let me just butt in. Mom and dad are always fighting. So just, it's all right.
Right. But they stay together for the kids.
Right.
And Allie, how many times did you have to explain? It's called vacation, folks.
I got to the point where I was like, hey, you know when this happens every year? You know when they take vacations every year?
Pretty much at the same time every year, too.
Right. Yes.
Exactly.
And I explain, if they were to take it off at the same time as each other, you'd have no show. So which would you prefer?
Hmm.
And then I didn't like that answer.
Because they were enthusiastic.
They're fine with no show.
No show. And then, of course, poor Jensen, he's stuck in the middle. He gets a lot of, you're not my real dad.
Yeah, who's Judson? Who's the stupid Judson?
You get Judson a lot?
Yeah. He's got a Jetson is my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
So he's got to deal with all that. But it's all hands on deck for an all-new Kevin and Bean show. And I'm very excited about a lot of things on today's program. But I want to start with this. Jensen, I'm so glad you're in here. Mm-hmm. Among the many other things that you do, including, you know, your get up on this podcast, including the Drop the Mic TV show on TBS, you have been for many, many years a successful art gallery owner.
Yes.
Gallery 1988 here in Southern California. And you're the guy we need to talk to about Banksy with.
I do know a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me start the story, and then you weigh, and then I'll have you weigh in along the way, because it's one of, am I overstating it if I say it's one of the craziest things that's ever happened in the art world?
It is that.
It is that. Kevin,
yes.
Do you know about this?
I know nothing about this.
Oh, then you're going to love this so much.
All right.
Here we go from the CBS Evening News.
We end tonight in London, where a painting by the mysterious street artist Banksy was auctioned off last night for more than $1 million.
Okay, so let's backtrack for folks who don't know Banksy. He's predominantly known as an anonymous street artist, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No one has ever technically seen his face.
Oh, really?
He was at the front of street art when it was just kind of becoming more than just writing your name on it. He became sort of a political commentary, and he's technically the king of stencil work. If you've seen stencil on the side of a wall.
King of stencil work.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you've seen a stencil of a character or anything like that, that's all kind of derivative of Banksy.
And
Thank you, Judson.
There you go.
And he works all over the world, basically. His stuff can show up anywhere, and nobody ever sees him put it up, and then people
He's an art ninja.
He is. Mm-hmm.
And then he started making, like, prints and paintings available of some of his stuff, and they're astronomically popular, right?
Yeah, and he started in the UK, and then he's had two shows in Los Angeles. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt bought a bunch of work. He's become sort of the main artist to collect.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of the story, and we'll find out what happened to this million-plus-dollar painting.
We end tonight in London, where a painting by the mysterious street artist Banksy was auctioned off last night for more than $1 million and immediately self-destructed. Roxana Saberi has the story.
And immediately what? Self-destructed.
Kevin's face. What?
This is awesome all of a sudden.
Awesome.
Didn't care. Holy crap, I love it.
$1.4 million, Kevin. As soon as the hammer came down, a shredder inside the frame had the took the piece and just shredded it just like in your office. Down the frame, two-thirds of the painting.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It's gone.
Can you imagine winning that? And you're like, yes.
Well, here's the thing. It started to beep, which is like actually to me the scarier part of it all.
Terrifying.
As soon as the gavel hit, beep started to go, and then it shredded. The kind of cool part about it is, and I don't know if Banksy picked it this way, it didn't shred the whole way.
Which is weird.
It went like halfway, so it's a painting in a frame that goes halfway, then becomes shredded pieces of paper.
Is it possible that that's the art?
Well, that's the thing. So, then yesterday, it came out, he posted a video of a few years ago.
Okay.
Him hiding.
He claims.
Well, yeah, he claims hiding the shredder inside of the frame. And he says if it ever goes to auction, I'll set it.
And isn't
why?
He...
Does he not want it sold?
Yeah, he hates when his work is sold.
Oh, okay.
And he also thinks it's insane how much art goes for.
In auction, mostly.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
In auction.
He'll do his own art shows and stuff, but he thinks the inflation of a Sotheby's or whatever, $1.4 million, he's like, no one should be paying that much for my paintings.
But that theory about him putting the battery, I assume it would need a battery, right, in the shredder, years ago, how would the battery still be good? Wouldn't it have had to be changed at some point?
You would think, again, Banksy has been beyond logic for so long that I've let go of it. I mean, he's such a good artist. The problem is a lot of people have like made it their personality. So, it's like an Urban Outfitters shirt at this point. But he is still so smart and so, he's just above and beyond anyone. His movie is so good. If you ever want to see he made a movie called Exit Through the Gift Shop. He's just a really good artist, and this is just another example of him being ahead of everyone else.
And all those people that feel the need to like get to the bottom of this battery thing, let it go. That's not the point of this.
Right, you're missing the point.
let it be magic is what you're saying.
He either had a long-lasting battery or someone changed it. Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on, people.
Right.
Let me play a little bit more because I have a couple other questions.
At $769.
Moments after Banksy's painting sold for nearly $1.5 million, it started falling through its frame, emerging in shreds, and setting off an alarm. A post on the artist's Instagram page hints that he pulled off the prank. The caption reads, "Going, going, gone." Banksy later posted this video online, revealing he had secretly built a shredder into the frame years ago in case the painting was ever put up for auction. It's not clear how the shredding started or who shot this video, showing the shock sparked by the spectacular stunt.
Now, he would have had to have an accomplice, I assume, in the room, right, to hit a button.
He has a whole team, yeah.
Does he? Or can you remote do it with a phone, cell phone or something?
He has a whole team.
Wow.
Yeah, he's always doing...
This is so the opposite of what every other artist in the world does, which is, I want to get as much money as I can.
No, he does not. And one of his most famous pieces is called Morons, and it's a picture of sort of a traditional auction house, and they're auctioning off a painting that just says, "I can't believe you guys buy this S-word."
And Kevin, to your question about the buyer, and the number one and number two buyer were both on the phone, so they were not, they were not there. We were not able to see their face.
Sotheby's auction house is brushing off suggestions it was in on Banksy's latest trick.
All right, now let me ask you about that, Jensen, because that's and sorry, Allie, there are people questioning this. Because it was the last painting auctioned off, number 67 for such an important artist, a lot of people are saying they knew this was happening.
I would never think he would include them. I think he sees them as the elitists. I think he sees them as the idiots. I think the reason that went last, in my opinion, is it's Balloon Girl, his most overexposed painting ever made. Mm-hmm. It's the one that has been used in like college dorm rooms. It's like the one that he picked it on purpose. So this painting would have always went for too much money, and so it would always be sort of the main event.
Okay,
but I cannot imagine he would include an auction house.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, final clip.
Banksy collector John Brandler says the ruse has only raised the artist's prestige.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It was the best publicity stunt he could think of.
Sotheby's has not revealed the identity of the buyer. Rena, you might think the artwork would now be worth less, but some art collectors predict the prank will actually cause the painting's value to rise.
Think it would be worth less, an
That's
idiot?
Awesome.
Of course it would be worth more. That would be the one that shredded at Sotheby's.
They are now saying it could be worth over $2 million as a result of this.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's his whole life.
He's a genius.
He's a genius in that. He's always been ahead of the curve. And even if someone had to use it as confetti, it would be the most expensive confetti.
Now, did he do that knowing that it would eventually be more expensive, or was he really just trying to make a statement against the elite, blah,
well,
blah,
if
blah?
Well, if the painting didn't come all the way out and it went halfway, I'm sure he knew where it was going, yeah. But it's if it was supposed to go all out, then I don't know what you would have been taking home other than some pieces of paper.
Yeah, it would have been in a Glad bag or something, right?
Here's your painting.
Crazy story, Kevin. You got to watch the video.
That's insane.
It's unbelievable.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Don't mess with my cheese, bro.
Right? Jensen's YouTube find is a feature that we have.
Yeah, I can't believe I found a way to turn this into a job.
How about that?
Me at 4 a.m. just staring at YouTube videos.
It's a bit that needs a better name, though. I'll tell you that.
I'm working on it.
I don't know. I like it. Matt Money Smith talking about the Dodgers in the playoffs.
What a game last night.
Bummed.
I mean, it was a great game.
Great game. And by the way, not worried. Not worried about the Dodgers beating the Braves.
Wow. All right.
Great news, because it is Monday. What's the citizenship test? Why are we taking that? This worries me.
Sit tight, Kevin. Sit tight.
Because I'm going to fail that miserably.
Oh, yeah. Then we're deporting you.
Oh, yes. Is that right?
Yeah. Apparently, only a third of Americans can pass the U.S. citizenship test.
I guarantee I'm in the other two-thirds.
James.
Guaranteed. We have, did you guys see the UFC fight? 229, Conor McGregor?
Well,
Khabib Nurmagomedov?
Let's just call him Khabib. We're never going to tackle that Russian name. I didn't get the fight because, you know, it was on late for me. But I obviously...
You know you can record it, right?
But we've talked about sporting events on tape, Kevin. They don't have it. You know what I mean? They don't have it.
I mean, again, I'll just say, if you don't know how it ends,
I can't wait to talk about it again. Okay. It's as crazy as the Banksy story is. This is as equally crazy in the world of UFC.
It was insane.
Yeah.
And it was worth every penny I spent on it. Couldn't have been happier. If they could promise me that every single time, I'm in.
You know what's awesome? I didn't spend a dime, and I still got to see it. Whoop, whoop.
You went to a friend's house?
No, I just watched the clip the next morning.
Oh, I see. All right.
Yeah.
And Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network will join us to recap NFL Week 5. We'll take a break. We'll come back with what's happening next. It is 5:53 now.
He was going to use the rake to rake in profits,
Because...
Come on. Because you're killing me, Larry.
Right.
Monday morning, Allie is here with our first look at what's happening. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys. See any movies this weekend, Kevin?
Did. Venom.
Shocked.
Right.
And?
Super disappointing.
No.
What? Super disappointing.
No. As soon as I read that it was dumb and loud, I thought Kevin is going to love it.
Oh.
No, because you know how Marvel movies walk that line. Remember the first Iron Man?
Sure.
It was great.
It was great.
The humor came out at natural places and you really laugh.
Yeah.
They tried to do that with Venom because the monster talks to him. He can hear it. And about half the time it was scary, and about half the time they tried to be funny and weren't.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it was a bummer.
How was Allie's boyfriend Tom Hardy's performance, though?
Fantastic.
He's amazing,
He was better than the movie, yes, by far.
Well.
But, oof.
Oof. Woof.
Right? Ugh. That's my point.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, October has kicked off with the biggest weekend in box office history. That month of October. Biggest weekend of the month of October in box office history.
I think you're saying the same thing now.
Yeah, because Venom, whopping $80 million this weekend, you guys. That's the new top opening for an October release, followed by A Star Is Born, which earned one of the top 10 largest October screenings ever, $42.6 million start. That's not bad, because apparently the budget was about $36 to $40 million, so they've already made it back. So I think they're probably thrilled with that.
I feel like A Star Is Born is going to have legs, too, by the way.
I think
that one's going to be playing well into the winter.
Absolutely. Number three, Smallfoot.
Smallfoot.
Still don't really know what that is.
I think it's an animated movie about a kind of a little Bigfoot. Maybe?
A tiny foot.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Can't wait.
Followed by Night School at number four, and rounding out the top five, The House with a Clock in Its Walls. Oh, I'm so bummed, Kevin. I thought for sure, because a lot of people, the critics were not loving Venom.
Oh, they weren't.
But I think the cinema score from the audiences was a B+. So I thought maybe this is one case where the critics got it wrong. But
I mean, it's possible I was, you know, I've been sick for a while. It's possible I wasn't in a good mood. Sometimes that affects it. But it just felt like they tried to be funny and weren't. And it was like a giant swing and a miss.
Yeah.
It's like a home run hitter in baseball that strikes out every once in a while. And that's Marvel. Yeah. Hit home run, home run, home run. And then they got to this one and they struck out. Wow. Great special effects.
I'm not even sure who he is right now. He's making baseball analogies.
Great. Yeah. Baseball is the best sport to make analogies of.
Okay.
It is, yeah. But great special effects, great acting. Mm-hmm. Everything except for the comedy that they tried was good.
Okay.
And that was terrible.
All right.
Back to you.
Has anyone checked in with Omar about this situation?
Oh, no. I that's a great point. We should see how he's dealing with it.
Yeah. Well, Mike, the situation, Sorrentino? Sure. He's been sentenced to 8 months behind bars for tax evasion. You guys, this could really change things. I don't know how.
How's that?
He will have to surrender to authorities in 30 to 60 days, but until then, he's free. So not sure if this affects Jersey Shore at all. I think it was one of the main storylines was it leading up to him possibly being sentenced. But you got to figure, sentenced to 8 months, what does he serve? One?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Maybe. I just hope he's doing okay.
Shocking. Shocking to see one of those guys go down, right?
Right.
Shocking. Seemed quite brilliant.
God, he could have evaded that tax for a long time. No one checks.
You know, he's not the first reality star who thought that money arrived from the TV show Tax Free. Remember the Richard Hatch who won the first Survivor? He ended up going to jail.
Oh, same thing.
He won that $1 million and thought, hey, I have $1 million. Kind of forgetting the government's junk.
You don't think they really believe that, right? That was just what they said.
I mean, look, I don't know.
I assume.
Clearly, they're not taking care of their taxes, though.
I don't know that anyone's that dumb.
Yeah, I think you have to actively avoid paying your taxes.
Right.
I would think somebody at CBS would have sat Richard Hatch down and been like, here's the deal.
The government will know you got money.
Yeah, exactly.
It's on TV.
So Ariana Grande posted a photo, and fans were immediately noticing something in the background of that photo scene.
Ariana Grande?
Her, yeah, seemed very... very interesting. Caused quite a stir.
Background.
She posted a photo with what appeared to be an infant's crib or playpen in the background. And people were like, what? Baby on the way. Maybe this is why she's been saying she's not going to tour. This is why she's trying to stay a little bit off social media. So a fan said, why is there a baby crib in the back, though? To which Ariana jokingly responded, my secret child, duh. And then Katy Perry was confused and wrote, what are you cooking in the crib? I don't think you... I don't know. Maybe Katy needs to,
cook
sit
in the
down
crib.
And find out, A, how babies are made. And then once they are made, you don't cook them. Well, Ariana decided to explain. And what a bummer. It's for Piggy Smalls, their pig.
What? They have a crib?
They have a crib.
What?
For Piggy Smalls.
Come on now.
Come on, that's the greatest ever.
Come on now. That's absurd.
People just flipping out that she is possibly with child. And she's like, nope.
I mean, they've been rushing this thing since day one.
I'm surprised she doesn't have a baby already.
She'll get pregnant and then deliver 4 weeks later.
Absolutely. I don't know if that's how it works.
It doesn't, but she's
in a rush.
Oh,
because of the rushing.
They do stuff fast.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it. I just found it really funny that she had to explain that it's for her pig. Piggy Smalls, right? Good times. Hey, some birthdays for you. Travis Pastrana, Bella Thorne, Nick Cannon, Matt Damon, Chevy Chase, and I know he's Bean's favorite. Bruno Mars. And that's what's happening.
One thing about my man Bean is that he gives blood every 3 days. And I think that's really admirable.
It's a gift.
It's really cool.
You know how some people doctor shop? I blood drive shop. I just drive around and look for anybody to take my blood.
He actually just likes cookies.
And I'm on a new weight loss program where I'm just losing weight 6 ounces at a time. Mm-hmm. Kevin brings it up because tomorrow is our annual K-Rock blood drive. We look forward to this every year because it really is, as I say every year, it is the easiest way to literally save someone's life in just a few minutes. Tuesday, Bloody Tuesday is what it's called this year. It's going to be the Hollywood Park Casino. Our friend Brad Williams is going to be down there hosting along with Beer Mug. And it starts at 5:30 a.m. So this time tomorrow, you could be down there giving some blood. And we're giving out great prizes, including tickets to the next K-Rock No Limit Comedy Night, Queen Mary's Dark Harbor tickets, LA Comic Con, Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights, Danny Elfman's Halloween, The Nightmare Before Christmas at the Bowl, and lots of K-Rock shows, too. So great prizes for a great cause. Details at KROQ.com, but tomorrow, Tuesday, Bloody Tuesday, at the Hollywood Park Casino. Go on by.
All right, Jensen Karpus here. Sorry, I was talking about your Twitter.
Thank God, not just calling me Quan out of nowhere.
Let's talk about the new feature that we got. What's it called?
Well, it's got a very catchy name.
Okay.
I found it on YouTube.
I found this.
On YouTube, do, 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 do. On YouTube, do, 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 do. On YouTube, do, 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 do. On YouTube.
All right, the theme song made it.
I love it.
You doubted it.
I now love it.
Oh, really? It's quite a comeback for that name. This week, I was in just a total spiral on YouTube.com.
Okay.
And I found something that I think means a ton to society.
Wow. That's a bold claim.
Oh, gosh. I watched hours and hours and hours of it this weekend. His name is John, but he goes by Report of the Week. He'll say it.
That's his name?
That's what he goes by. And he has an aura of mystery surrounding him, so much so that we don't know his real last name.
Okay.
All we know is that he's somewhere in Central Florida. Now, his YouTube channel is called Report of the Week. That's how you'll find it. But he's often known as Review Bra. Review Bra? Like, what,
like
bra?
Bra?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a name given to him by the internet, now he's taking it on. He has over 1 million subscribers, and arguably he's one of the most important food reviewers in the country.
Thank God we've got that.
That's right. You see, his reviews are of fast food items.
Okay.
And energy drinks. And he might be, and this is just a feeling that I have, a creepy ghost time traveler.
Okay.
He could be 25 years old. He could be 13. He could be 65. You'll have no idea by his look. And he's very pale. He's a skinny boy man. He has a hair part sort of in the middle. He wears three-piece suits always, in his personal life. They're always just a little bit too big. I think the best way to be exposed to Report of the Week is to just listen to him. Here's his review of Taco Bell's nacho fries. It's important to know that he opens every single video with the same intro, and he's mostly sitting in his car. This is the first clip.
Hello, everyone. This is Running on Empty Food Review. Well, I'm over here at Taco Bell this morning, and while it might not be morning for you, it is for me. I got here at 9 a.m., and this is a major release. This is a huge release. Everyone's talking about it. You could find it. All the media is talking about it. There's the hype. The hype. Everyone's hyping it up. It's going crazy here. You can see the line already wrapped around the building.
There was no line.
No line.
No line behind him.
He said they were going nuts.
Yeah, there's nothing going on.
Okay.
He always talks like a newsie.
Yeah, what's the accent he's got going on?
He might be from Mars. No one knows. Then we watch him silently eat nacho fries for about a minute. His feelings on a good fry is clip number two.
These fries do have a nice crispy firmness to them, which is good. That's what I look for in a fry. You know, you don't like the soggy fries when they're just floppity, they're flopping around.
Right.
It's no fun, of course, to eat. And, of course, you have to find that perfect middle ground where it has that firmness to it, but it's not overdone and it's not overburned.
Knows what he's talking about.
Now, you might be asking, who watches this?
Who watches this?
Who watches this?
2.4 million people watched him eat those nacho fries.
Wow.
So he is making not just a living, a great living.
Oh, he's making thousands, like tens of thousands of dollars a month. Yeah. A few other things you should know about Report of the Week or Review Bra. He's always drinking out of his own container, and it was recently revealed it's because he loves the water at Starbucks.
What?
He pays for the water at Starbucks because he says he's done tests and says that that's the best water.
I was at a Starbucks and somebody came in and got water and I was like, this is the weirdest. I went back and told my daughter, this is the craziest thing. So why would they come in and get water?
It might be because of Report of the Week. One other thing, he sleeps during the day and is awake throughout the night like a vampire.
Love it.
So like he falls asleep at 10, wakes up, sleeps all the way through. He lives with his parents. I know that's a shocker. He also has a cat, also a shocker. He's just started this in his early teens reviewing energy drinks. Here he tries cheese.
You know, I haven't been a fan of their nacho cheese, and I like the fries right now as they are. I don't think they need the nacho cheese, but there you can see a ceremonial dish full of nacho cheese. And, yeah, we'll dip it in.
All right.
We'll see if it amplifies it, you know? Maybe it will.
Do you guys think it amplifies it?
I'm sorry. How many people?
That was 2.4 million on that one.
Okay, does it amplify it? Yes.
All right, let's see.
All right.
I would say the sauce isn't mandatory. Now, it comes with it anyway, whether you like it or not. It's up to you whether you want to use it or not.
He's right.
Okay.
He's definitely right.
I mean, yeah. He does have a point. It's up to me.
He also, Bean's going to love this. He has a short form radio show. So basically, you can go and listen to it. It's VORW that he broadcasts every single week. He has one of those shortwave radios.
Oh.
Bean just came awake.
Yeah. It's a
shortwave
radio. Go on. And basically, if you're not in the year 1923, like Bean, you can get it on SoundCloud. But he basically plays old music and talks. He's just an old human being stuck in this young body.
Oh, I love him.
I have a shortwave radio, so yeah. No problem picking that up.
It's very easy. Like any translucent man boy who looks like an anemic Clay Aiken, he gets trolls. This is him reading one of the troll comments on his YouTube.
Stingy. Salmon hair. Frog. Donald Trump. Elf. Chin bleeper. TF eyebrows is this. Bony skin. Forehead big as my posterior. No offense. I'm not trying to be mean, but this is all true facts. But hey, I'm judging from the outside. He could actually be a pretty cool guy, so don't hate on me, guys.
Or my favorite clip, when he ate a Popeye sandwich, and it was the worst thing he said he's ever reviewed. And he said a sentence that I believe deserves true infamy.
My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined.
Listen, you can look him up. Report of the Week is his YouTube. He has over 600 videos online. Popeye's Ghost Pepper Wings, McDonald's Garlic White Cheddar Burger, Domino's Pan Pizza. Those are some of my favorites.
That's my king.
He's a god. He should be, literally, he should be worshipped at his throne. And that I found on YouTube.
I found this on YouTube. Monday mornings on the show means great news coming up just after 7. Also, we'll be talking about that insane UFC fight Saturday night. By the way, you still a Conor McGregor fan after that, Kevin?
Absolutely.
Okay. And believe it or not, Allie's going to give us all the citizenship tests to see who gets to stay in the country and who doesn't.
No. Do we get deported?
Immediately.
Apparently that's how it works.
Nice knowing you guys.
First, though, our good friend Matt Money Smith back on the phone. He is the co-host of the Petros and Money radio show on AM 570 LA Sports, which is your Dodgers station, and also the voice of the Los Angeles Chargers. Congratulations on your big win yesterday, Matt.
Yeah, it was a great atmosphere, and I believe it was my, 15th game at StubHub Center, and I saw my first fight. Two female Raider fans. Way to go, Raiders. Stay classy.
All right.
Throwing haymakers at one another. First fight at StubHub Center. So well done, Raider fans.
Well, congratulations. All right, so you had you had a win in the afternoon. Not so lucky following the Dodgers at night, but still, no reason to despair. There's a lot of things that went right for the Dodgers last night, too.
Yeah, it was just one bad inning, you know, a half inning for Walker Buehler, who really had been their best pitcher since he came off the DL. Young dude, 24, throws like, I don't know, 150 miles an hour. And, you know, the Braves just hung five on him in a half inning. And they, you know, recovered from that. Like you said, that's the good, right? You rally from that kind of hole and you tie the game up. And unfortunately, they lose 6-5. Look, it's hard to beat a team three times. I know the Brewers just did it to the Rockies. Today's the big one. If they can get this win today, they can still set their rotation where Kershaw gets the ball in game one, Walker Buehler gets it in game two in Milwaukee. You come back and Hyun-Jin Ryu pitches game three because he's been so dominant at Dodger Stadium, and you're good. Lose today, and that's when it gets a little tricky because now, you know, Kershaw's got to pitch game five, so you don't have him available for games one or game two in Milwaukee. And, you know, the Brewers are just sitting there having swept the Rockies, setting their rotation and resting all their relievers. And that's the best bullpen in the game.
I want to go back to the Walker Buehler thing for just a second, because there are two interesting things that happened. One is this kid who hit the grand slam is 20.
Yeah.
What were you doing when you were 20, Kevin?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
He's hitting a grand slam in a playoff game at 20, first of all. And second of all, have you ever seen anyone walk the opposing team's pitcher on four pitches like he did?
What did he do?
He walked the Atlanta pitcher on four balls.
On four pitches.
Wow.
It's rare, but you know, you saw. Think about the Kershaw game, right? The against the Rock or whatever it was against the Giants when they just let up, right? You as a pitcher, you can't let up because pitchers can still hit. So I think that in that situation, he stayed focused. Like, hey, I'm in a bit of trouble here. I can't freak out and take it easy and have this pitcher get on base. So he probably got a little bit too much juice there. Walked, and it happens. It's rare, no question. I mean, you assume that a pitcher in the National League hitting is an instant out, but I'd rather see that than see him, you know, dial back a little bit and a pitcher get a hit, kind of like what happened with Kershaw in San Francisco when that happened. I think that would upset a manager more than the four pitches. Whatever the case, you got a 20-year-old that's got that kind of bat, and really, he's one of the reasons why the Braves had such a good year. And I think when we talked about this series before it started, you know, we said, look, the one danger is these guys are too young and too dumb to know what they're in the middle of. And they just continue to play like they have been, swinging free and hitting home runs or grand slams in that case, because they just don't know no better when it comes to the pressure. And I think that's kind of what you saw in that at bat last night.
The Braves are definitely the worst team in the playoffs right now. Not that any team can't beat any team on any given day, but I mean, they're really kind of the outside team in terms of odds, right?
Well, I think now that the Rockies are eliminated, yeah, I would say the Rockies were a worse team than the Braves. But, you know, look, tonight they're going to throw their ace, you know, Folty, the guy that got lit up in game one. But yeah, a lot of people said you could just see he had the jitters. He was nervous. He's a lot better pitcher than that, so it's not going to be easy tonight. I mean, he is far and away the one starting pitcher they have that's you would say is a bona fide, like, legitimate playoff starting caliber or playoff caliber starting pitcher. So,
I don't watch a lot of baseball, as you know, but it seems to me like the more they talk up a pitcher about how great he is, all of a sudden then they give him the ball and it just falls apart.
That's kind of, look, I hate to say it, but that's kind of been the situation with Kershaw in the postseason, right? I mean, he has been the best pitcher of his generation. And for whatever reason, in the postseason, first it was the Phillies, then it was the Cardinals. When he was younger, it just kind of got away from him. Now, to have that kind of performance in game two, where he throws eight innings, a shutout ball, doesn't walk anyone, you know, that's kind of what you expect, right? But if you go through his game logs in the postseason, that hasn't been the guy. I mean, just go back to last year, right? The guy, you know, got a 4-run lead, and then he's got a lead in the fifth, and he gives up another 3 runs against the Astros in game five, and that ends up being the pivotal game and what cost them the World Series. It's just a different animal. Yeah. And it's, God, I'm spitting out cliches.
I love it.
But, you know, they can talk about that, and your heart, I don't know if you can compare it to. I guess, you know what? Like back in the day, and this is, again, totally unrelatable to your listening audience,
right?
But when you guys first started inviting me on the air, you know, your heart starts pumping a little bit. You freak out when you see that microphone in front of you. And next thing you know, you're stumbling all over your words. I think it's when you have those high pressure situations, it's hard to control.
Well,
breathing, your heart rate. Yeah, and here I am today.
We predicted you would never make it in broadcasting. Look at us, right? look at where you are today. All right, last question for you, Matt, because I know you're very busy and you're probably on your way to golf. We always appreciate you sharing your insight.
How dare you?
I was thinking during that ninth inning last night, no outs, two men on, Muncy's up, it's 3-0. And I'm thinking, there's no way the Dodgers don't win this, but that's the beauty of baseball, is the tension on every single pitch was so exciting. He strikes out, next guy strikes out, next guy strikes out, game over, Atlanta squeaks by. How can somebody watch the top of the ninth inning last night and not be in love with the sport of baseball?
Well, it's interesting you say that, because I think the diehard Dodger fans watch that and they want to pull their hair out, because you just think about what we grew up watching. It's like, okay, so Max Muncy's going to bunt these guys over to second and third. Machado's going to come up, make contact, sack fly one of them in, and we got a tie game. Maybe he gets a hit, and now we're up. You know, now the Dodgers are up by a run. But instead, you get three guys who are all capable home run hitters, right? And all three of them are just hacking away and strike out. And I think that's kind of what's changed about the game of baseball. It's become a strikeout home run game.
Yeah.
As opposed to let's kind of manage our way through this, manufacture a run to tie it, and see if we can get this thing in three games in extras.
All right. What time's game four tonight, Dodgers Braves?
I don't know.
1:30. It's an afternoon game. It's 1:30.
Yeah, no, it's a 12 p.m. pregame, 1:30 start. So we'll probably be on the air like 6 or 7 o'clock to celebrate and hopefully get another video from Puig and our man David Vassay.
Absolutely, that was the greatest. Yeah. All right, AM 570 LA Sports for all your Dodger action. Matt, we love
can
you.
I
thanks
add
so much.
Being,
yes,
can
please.
I add before
of course.
I leave, I just wanted to acknowledge how much I enjoyed the interaction before you brought me on when you said to Kevin, "So is Conor McGregor still your guy?" And he said, "Absolutely." And you just went, "Okay." And we moved on.
That's how we do. Thanks, Matt.
I really enjoyed that. All right, guys.
Thank you, Matt. Bye.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:54.
The gang's all here, you guys. It's Kevin and Bean and Allie and Jensen here on a Monday morning. Allie, you come bearing gifts for this. What's happening?
I sure do. Halloween. It's in theaters October 19th. But how would you like to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Halloween at Pacific's The Grove? It's going to go down on October 16th.
Right?
That is terrifying the way
he
did that.
Scary, right?
Yes, absolutely. If you call right now and your caller's 10 through 14.
Call now.
You got to finish it.
Call now.
You gotta finish.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you. That was Dodo interrupt us, man. What happened?
It was.
Call now.
He's having a seizure.
Call now.
Very bizarre. Colors 10 through 14, you're going to get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening. How fun does that look?
It does look. That's pretty badass.
Can't wait.
Jesus.
Sorry.
All right.
We see it as our job to make chaos and not let you get through your stories.
All right.
Okay.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
This is an interesting story. You try and surprise someone with something great, but you have to lie to do it. So let's say you're Offset from the Migos and you want to give your lady Cardi B something great, but instead...
How about Balenciagas, the ones that look like socks?
But instead, you have your friend tell Cardi that you fainted and she needs to rush back to Atlanta to be by his side. That's what happened. And she's freaking out. She's like, oh my God, what's happening? I don't even know. No one's answering the phone.
That's a horrible thing to do.
Yeah. It's very uncool.
But at the end, she got a $200,000 Lamborghini. Her dream car.
Worth it.
Worth it, right? I mean, how long was she really worried? A couple hours? But I don't know about that. I don't know about pranking someone to give them something, but then they're fearing for their loved one's life.
For their safety. Yeah, that's crazy.
I think that's a bad move.
Do you remember the Justin Timberlake punked where they told him his whole house was being repossessed?
And he cried.
And he cried when they took his dogs, but it was real.
Yeah.
Oh.
It actually made me like him.
Yeah.
Because I was like, his dogs. That's what he's most sad about. Yeah.
I have a Jensen question. And of course, anybody who comes into new wealth, the danger is you're going to blow it on ridiculously expensive things.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a guy like Offset, is the money train going to keep rolling forever? Is this a wise purchase for him?
No. Ask Hammer.
Good point.
Ask Mike Tyson. There are people who went through way more money than him. I mean, when I got my record deal with Nearscope, I bought a Tapper arcade game. That was the dumbest thing. Listen, it was like $1,400. I had it flown in from Canada. It's the closest I'll ever get to being in Migos.
You were living.
Listen, that money went away a year later, so he should watch out what he's doing.
Yeah, I just feel like that's a lot to drop on a car for a guy who most people still don't even know who you are.
Yeah, I mean, they think there's one guy named Migos. You know what I mean?
Yeah, true. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Good times. Good times, everybody.
No one that look like that.
Meghan Markle's sister, remember her? She said that Meghan was a Dutch ass instead of Duchess.
See?
Clever. And warned Prince Harry not to marry her because she's a social climber. Well, she's now in England trying to have Meghan talk to her. She's showing up at Kensington Palace, being turned away by guards. She's going on Jeremy Vine's Channel 5 show, attempting to defend her decision to drag Meghan. It's all very, very bizarre.
Her family sucks.
They suck so much.
They're like the family that Chevy Chase visits in Vacation with the Quaid. You know what I mean?
Sure. In the RV in the driveway.
We're here.
Yeah.
Show us what a king looks like.
They're awful, awful people. But she also wrote her a letter, and she was turned away, couldn't give her the letter, obviously. And Samantha said, I would just like to say there's so much water under the bridge. So much was spun out of control that was never intended to. Okay, A, there's no water under the bridge at all. And then, of course, she piped up on Twitter saying, everybody would love to know what's in that letter. Go away. Go away. And if anyone pays to see what is in that letter, you're all part of this problem.
Oh, I guarantee there'll be somebody who pays for it.
Absolutely.
No question. That's terrible.
It's just so creepy. And Bean, what's up with your girl, Olivia de Havilland?
Yeah, Bean.
What's up with her?
She is, you're talking about the lawsuit against Feud? Well, look, she's a very popular and famous actress 70 years ago. She mm-hmm. is still alive. She's 103 years old, and she was represented in that miniseries, that Ryan Murphy miniseries last year with Susan Sarandon and Jessica Lange.
Yes, Feud, Bette and Joan.
Which was phenomenal, by the way. Mm-hmm. It was so great, and she was played by Catherine Zeta-Jones in that, and she feels she was unfairly represented, that there were things put in the movie that Ryan Murphy says they did for dramatic effect to tell mm-hmm. a story, but she says, did not represent my views, did not represent what I said. You can't do that. I'm still alive. I'm going to sue you. And that's what she's doing. Yeah.
Well, she's asking the U.S. Supreme Court to overturn a California ruling that said it was okay for FX and producer Ryan Murphy to use her persona and name in the movie. So she's not okay with that. Hmm. Now she's like, hey, I'm going to take this one step higher. If I can.
I feel like she's got a pretty good case, by the way. I mean, she's still alive and they're putting words in her mouth in a story that's supposed to be real. If she didn't say those things and they don't reflect her views, I feel like that's uncool.
All I know is I want to have the kind of optimism to start a lawsuit at 103 years old. You know what I mean?
That's insane.
I can't even start a TV show at 9:30.
It's nuts. It is absolutely nuts. Some birthdays for you. Chevy Chase, Matt Damon, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, and Travis Pastrana. And that's what's happening.
Guys, it's Monday. You know what that means?
What?
It's time for great news.
When you wake up, all you hear is bad news. So bad it makes you want to hit the snooze. Kevin and Bean can make that go away. It's time for great news today.
Great news! There's enough bad news on the radio and on the television, so at least for 5 minutes a week, we like to bring you some great news, and there are some great people doing some awesome things. That hurricane is no longer, Hurricane Florence, I guess it was, that battered the Carolinas. That's no longer front page news, but there are still people who are flooded out, who can't go back home, and what do you do with all those people? Well, you go to this guy.
I said, come stay with me. Come stay at my house until you can go back to yours.
It's not really a house, though.
It's a big 70-room house. It really is. At least that's how it's been lately.
Jarrett Hucks owns the Midtown Inn and Cottages, and throughout the flood, he has been open for business.
Jarrett Hucks, nice to meet you.
Or more like open for charity.
We'll take care of you.
He is letting anyone who is displaced by the storm stay at his hotel, his 70-room hotel in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, for free.
Wow.
Wow, that's cool.
It's unbelievable. He has given away 1,000 nights already, which is about $50,000 worth of business. And he says, look, you know, my mommy taught me, and it's in the Bible, that you help out people where you can. And he's letting them bring their pets, even though he previously had a no pet policy. And just everyone is welcome. They are, as you can imagine, extremely grateful, because what other options do they have?
I don't know what we would have done, to be honest with you. I don't know where we would be right now.
There's so many other ways you want to say thank you.
There's no words to describe what it means to our family.
And here's what's the most remarkable part about this great news story. So often this is the case where it kind of starts a domino effect when one person does a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
Other people heard about what he was doing, and then they started getting in contact with him saying, what can we do for these people?
But even more important is the generosity he has inspired in others.
People started running to me right away. How can I help? What can I do?
They brought diapers, ice, and plenty of food. Anyone staying at the Midtown now gets 3 square meals a day.
So people show up to feed. People bring, clothes for the kids and stuff like that. People come by and give free haircuts.
Wow.
Drop off toiletries, whatever it is that they need. It's just an unbelievable story. And I can't believe how long it's been going on. This so often happens with these storms. You know, you think, that one's done. But these people still can't go back. Their homes are flooded.
I got to tell you, after doing our charity thing for the longest amount of time, mm-hmm. you realize most people are pretty good and will help if they're just pointed in a direction.
Right. Yeah.
So this guy opens up his hotel and lets people stay for free. And then everybody else goes, I can help in this way.
That's exactly what happened. And I love this guy. He's awesome. And that's audio courtesy of the CBS Evening News. And that's my great news.
Mine is Florida State wide receiver Travis Rudolph makes fans for life by eating lunch with an autistic child. This is a strange story out of Tallahassee because it's such a small thing, really, a tiny little thing that he did that made such a big difference. Ahead of number 4, Florida State's game against number 11, Ole Miss, a handful of Seminole players found time to help neighborhood children and parents. On Tuesday afternoon, the mother of a child on the autistic spectrum posted a picture of SYU junior receiver Travis Rudolph eating lunch with her son at Montford Middle School. Apparently, he went there to talk to the kids, say, hey, I play football at FSU. And he saw this little kid just sitting there eating alone at lunch.
So he invited him into his van?
Nope, he said. I asked if I could sit next to him, and he said, sure, why not? Rudolph said Wednesday, it just felt like we had a great conversation. He started off. He was so open. He told me his name was Bo and how much he loves Florida State. And we went from there. He didn't even know this guy was a Florida State player at the beginning. Rudolph said that Bo was a really warm person. He said, I was just a kid not too long ago. And I remember the impact of the guys that played in college and NFL coming up to us. And I feel like maybe I can change someone else's life or make somebody a better person or make them even better, a better person than me. That's what I want to do. And the mom of the little kid wrote, it's one of my daily questions for Bo. Who did you eat lunch with today? Because she knows that her son a lot of times eats lunch alone. And she said, I'm not sure exactly what made this incredibly kind man share a lunch table with my son, but I'm happy to say that it will not soon be forgotten. And I just thought that that was such a sweet, like, one-off. Somebody else happened to take the picture.
Yeah.
And it was going to happen without the headlines and anybody else knowing, but somebody snapped a picture and just saw that as a tiny little moment of kindness.
How mean is the mom, though, to ask him every day?
No, seriously.
Right?
I don't think she's rubbing it in.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't think so.
Hey, sitting alone again today, loser?
I don't think that's how she asks. And that's my great news.
I wanted to do a bit of a recap for my great news. Remember, about a month ago, I brought you the story of a woman that found out that there were 100 foster youth that would be going to UCLA. And she thought, you know what? These are kids that have, somewhat aged out of that system. These are kids that never had a mom and dad that would take them to Bed Bath & Beyond and buy the sheets, buy the extension cords, buy everything you need to move into a dorm. So she set something up, her own website, teamsooster.com, and she basically wrote out what every single kid would need for their first day at UCLA. I mean, these kids made it into such a prestigious school, first of all, and then to go in there pretty much with nothing.
Yeah.
Why not make their first day as wonderful as possible?
You know, Luke Robitaille and his wife, Stacia, have that charity,
yes.
Echoes of Hope. And
yeah.
I didn't know until he started this charity, or she started this charity, that you can age out.
You age out.
Foster home at 18, you're done.
It's so sad.
So maybe you just don't have any financing to go to school, even though they made it into UCLA.
Exactly. So she set this up. I brought the story to you guys, the listeners. And this is basically a huge thank you to the listeners of Kevin and Bean. Because she wrote back and she said, we surpassed our goal. Your amazing listeners gave them every little thing they needed, plus some extras, some fun stuff like UCLA t-shirts, UCLA blankets, food, gift cards. Basically, because of Kevin and Bean listeners and what wonderful other people that donated, 100 foster youth had everything they needed to move into their dorm rooms at UCLA. And the students were so appreciative. She said kids were saying, this is the first time I've been given anything. This is the Christmas morning I never had. I can't believe all of these strangers care about us so much to do this. But if you want to go to Team Suster, that's SUSTER.com, you can see details and some of the photos of the kids on their first day at school with everything they need in their dorm room. So I just wanted to take a second to thank the Kevin and Bean listeners, because you're pretty awesome and you show up when you need to and when you're asked to, and it's a wonderful thing. Some of you are dicks.
Agreed.
I couldn't just let it go that you're all wonderful. But sure. You are. You are wonderful. And that's my great news.
Look. Not everything has to be on the radio, Allie. We could have some conversations off the air where it's not quite so embarrassing.
Listen, when I saw a study that said only a third of Americans can pass a multiple choice U.S. citizenship test, I thought, oh, that's not good. And then when I heard if you're younger than 45, only 19% pass it.
And you can't be surprised by that, because like everything else we learned in high school, we don't need to know this stuff after we take the test.
Right, I'm with that guy.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, how often do... I mean, I don't even know what's on the citizenship test, but I assume it's things, like who becomes president if the president dies. You know, things like that. I mean...
And who does, Kevin?
The vice president.
Very good.
Thank you, everybody.
Some of that stuff
that's
is pretty...
one for me.
Some of that stuff is pretty basic. Most of the stuff about the citizenship test, we would never, ever need to know because we're already citizens.
That is true. Here's the thing. There are 100 civics questions on the test, and then there's an interview process where you're asked up to 10 questions, and you have to answer 6 of those correctly.
Whoa. Okay.
So, yeah, it can get pretty tough. I want to ask you some questions... And we'll just see how you fare.
1776.
Very good.
Now, yes. Are we going to pool our answers? Are we going to go back and forth? Or how do you want to do it?
Oh, I like pooling.
I think Kevin would do better with pooling. Yes.
That way we can always use your answer and I win.
Kevin, let's just start off easy. Let's ease you into it.
Oh, this is going to be embarrassing.
Who was the first U.S. president?
George Washington.
Very good.
Boom! Suck it!
Slow down.
Oh.
Why does the flag have 50 stars?
50 states.
Kevin!
Suck it!
We elect a president for how many years?
4 at a time, 8 total.
I mean, that wasn't even part of it, but yes!
Suck it!
Yes!
Kevin gets Why to stay am I in America, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting all the easy ones, though, Bean.
We elect a senator for how many years? Bean, why don't you take this?
Senators are 6 years.
Senators are 6 years. Who is in charge of the executive branch? And I can give you 4 choices. Is it the president, the speaker of the house, the majority whip, or the chief justice?
Stupid, the president.
Very good.
Suck it!
Wow. Kevin, how many U.S. senators are there?
Oh, no. Senators.
Are there 50?
Not representatives.
Are there 100? Are there 200 or 435?
There are 100.
Kevin.
Right?
I didn't know it was multiple choice, by the way. No way he comes up with that if it's not multiple choice.
I think that's true.
Who was the president during World War II and the Great Depression?
Bean.
Franklin Roosevelt.
Indeed, it was.
That's what I was going to say. Good.
All right. Here's where we
now,
start
hold on
getting.
A sec. Hold on. Yes. You said World War II and the Great Depression. Those are two very different things.
Very different things.
Woodrow Wilson was World War I. Herbert Hoover was the Great Depression.
That's
Franklin Roosevelt was World War II.
That's what I was thinking. That's confusing.
Hmm.
Back to you.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, no, Woodrow Wilson was during World War I, right?
Right. That's what I said. Yeah.
Yeah.
Franklin Roosevelt was World War II. Herbert Hoover was during the Depression.
But nobody brought up World War II.
The Depression didn't also involve Franklin Roosevelt?
I mean, let's not argue about this.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess Roosevelt would have been on
so
the
table. Maybe suck it.
the second half of the Depression.
Listen.
You got it right, for God's sake.
And this just in. Why are you arguing with me? I can throw you out of the country.
I forgot about that.
It's insane.
I forgot about that.
Here is where it gets interesting. Lincoln Park Strategies conducted a poll surveying 1,000 American citizens. Among its findings... 60% of people didn't know which countries the United States fought in World War II?
The insane clown posse.
Who did the U.S. fight in World War II?
Japan and Germany.
100%.
And a little bit of Italy?
And Italy.
Sure.
Suck it!
Okay, very good. 57% didn't know how many justices serve on the U.S. Supreme Court.
Last week or this week?
Yes, we say nine.
Very good.
We agree, nine.
Wow. You guys, slow down.
We're staying,
okay.
Right?
Okay. 24%, that's it, only knew why the colonists fought the British. Why did we fight the British?
To gain our independence?
I mean, Kevin.
Come on now.
I'm
a freaking history book here.
You really are.
You really are. That's concerning. 72% of respondents didn't know or misidentified which states were part of the 13 original states.
I mean, are you asking me to name them all?
Yes.
Oh, I can't do that. I can't name them all. But I mean, I know there was, you know, New York and Rhode Island. And New Jersey.
You're just naming it after Kevin. You're not doing anything.
I'm trying to help.
Mm-hmm. And Virginia, I think. And Maryland. Is Maryland one of the original 13?
It is indeed.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Oh.
Massachusetts. I hate you.
How many more are there?
I think that's
one,
it.
Two, three.
Oh. New Hampshire.
New Hampshire.
Yes.
Sure.
Vermont.
Yeah.
I was just going to say.
Wait.
Delaware
is one.
Mm,
you have right. Left one off.
They make people name all 13 of these?
Wow, that's a lot.
That's difficult.
California.
Or Pennsylvania.
No.
Delaware, Massachusetts.
Which one did I miss?
He's about to
you missed circuit. South Carolina.
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
So I was thinking that. I would not have thought that at all. So North Carolina now?
North Carolina as well. Thank you. Right in there.
I didn't say that one either. So,
nope.
Okay.
So you were right. Two off. No big deal.
I cut it off at
See
Virginia.
Ya.
I didn't realize it.
Move back to London, sir.
I didn't realize it went south of that. Okay. All right. I fail.
Well, no, not at all. Not at all. 2% did say that climate change was the cause of the Cold War.
Oh,
That is incorrect,
That's
you guys.
That's incorrect.
Can you name just one of the main causes of the Cold War?
I mean, I think it was...
Nuclear weapons.
Yeah.
Nuclear weapons, fear of communist attack, Russia's actions or USSR's actions in the Soviet zone of Germany.
Wasn't going to come up with that.
All sorts of different things. I am not going to lie.
Bean and I are staying.
USA. Right?
Well, right? One more.
USA. One more. We just finished. That's it.
Kevin, who's the current Chief Justice?
Ooh, I know this one.
Who's the current Chief Justice?
How many?
Nine.
Yes.
Okay.
And who's the Chief Justice? D's Nuts. Indeed. Which is also a name for John Roberts. So I would never
have gotten that in a million years.
I would say Kevin.
Right?
You shocked me,
How
quite frankly.
How dare you?
You shocked yourself.
I did, yeah.
A little bit. So congratulations. You guys can stay.
We're citizens.
Yay.
We're citizens.
What if one of our listeners woke up tomorrow morning, Kevin, and felt like giving some blood for a good cause?
Well, Tuesday Bloody Tuesday is happening. It is tomorrow morning at the Hollywood Park Casino, hosted by Brad Williams and Beer Mug. It's going to start at 5:30 a.m., so if you want to give blood before you go to work, that would be fine. Goes to 3 p.m. You get tons of prizes just for coming down there. You get tickets to the next K-Rock No Limit Comedy Night. You get the Queen Mary's Dark Harbor. You get tickets to L.A. Comic-Con. You get Universal Studios Hollywood Halloween Nights. You get Danny Elfman Halloween at the Hollywood Bowl. It's fantastic, and it's tomorrow morning from 5:30 to 3 p.m.
We were trying to figure out if Brad Williams were to give blood, how much they would allow him to give.
I don't know the answer.
Because like a thimble is like half of what he's got, right? And we're going to make Beer Mug give blood every hour. That's something else we're going to do tomorrow.
Right.
So get all the details at KRock.com, but plan on being at the Hollywood Park Casino tomorrow morning.
None of you guys bought the fight?
Oh, I did. I bought the fight.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I did not buy the fight, and I'm glad I didn't. I know I'm alone on this, but I don't like fights in hockey. I don't like fights in baseball. I don't like fights in fights.
Well, that's your, that's dumb. What?
This is your segment, then.
No, I want to see a great UFC fight, which didn't happen.
It did happen.
Top of the card.
It did happen. It did happen.
You thought it was a great fight?
Yes,
really?
I did. Yeah.
Okay. But I hate what happened afterwards. I believe in sportsmanship. And I hate it. I do. Even in the UFC, I think that there are rules and
there are
standards of behavior.
Of course
there are. I think this is completely unacceptable.
Of course. And if I worked for the UFC, that's exactly what my opinion would be. But I don't.
As a fan, you just
that's the fake opinion.
Dug the hell out of it.
That's what they're telling you on the television. They love this.
I think so, too.
This is how you sell fights. This is WWE, which Dana White clearly has always been influenced by. He loves the throwing of the chair. He loves running. I mean, this is all part of a big scheme.
All right, let's set up what happened for folks who didn't see it.
All right, Conor McGregor and Khabib Nurmagomedov fought.
About right, yeah.
And they have been at each other for years.
Yeah.
For years before this fight. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it got super personal. He was talking about Khabib's family and religion and mm-hmm. Russians and everything, every possible way you could step over the line, Conor did.
Well, he was trying to start a war between Ireland and Russia.
And he was trying to. He almost succeeded, yes. So this was all leading up to the fight. And Khabib has been saying this whole time, look, I'll fight Conor anywhere, anytime. Just tell me where. I'm in Brooklyn right now. Tell me where to fight. I'll fight him. So he's a little crazy. I was surprised that he fought so well, being so emotionally out of control.
Yeah.
Because usually that hurts you.
Yeah. That's what Conor wanted. He wanted to get his head that way since like 2015.
Yes.
He's been working on it. It's a long con, and it did not pay off.
So Khabib fought him and beat him, choked him out.
Yeah.
And Conor was just sitting in the corner, and then Khabib just went crazy. Here's some of the audio.
There's the tag! Still undisputed! Khabib Nurmagomedov has finished Conor McGregor tonight!
Look at him.
Now, right there, Joe Rogan notices. Look at him, he says, mm-hmm. because Khabib is going crazy, and he's pointing over into the crowd. It was like, what's happening?
Look at him screaming at the corner. He's screaming at Dylan Danis, Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu coach.
Okay, so he's screaming at Conor McGregor's jiu-jitsu coach, and then goes past the big fat guy in the red jacket.
A security guard.
And jumps off the cage and into the crowd to attack him.
Imagine how tough you have to be to start a fight after a fight.
Right.
Yeah.
With a jiu-jitsu coach.
Yeah, with a tougher guy, really.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, and now Khabib jumps the fence.
No.
Whoa!
No.
Mayhem!
Now, he says mayhem. It was mayhem.
He Spider-Man jumped, into the, with webs out of his hands, into the crowd.
And well, you said WWE, that's exactly what it looked like.
It looked like that fight in the crowd. It looked like, I don't know, but it looked like there were 100 people brawling.
Yep.
I mean, it just looked that bad.
Oh, no. Total chaos here. It looks like UFC security has corralled Khabib Nurmagomedov. Oh!
Okay, so now somebody else, one of the friends of Khabib, jumps into the ring and hits Conor McGregor from behind.
Mm-hmm.
And now one of Nurmagomedov's teammates throws a right hand at Conor. All hell has broken loose.
Now it's in the crowd there's fighting, and in the ring there's fighting.
This is crazy.
This is not something we're going to like, nothing we're going to condone. It's not something we want to promote. This is not professionalism, but it is the fight game to an extent.
This is horrible.
It can get nasty.
This is the nastiest I've ever seen.
Yeah, this is not how you want it to be in this sport. This is not how we want to represent ourselves.
Khabib jumping out of the octagon like that and attacking someone in the crowd.
And I think,
that is so stupid and so unnecessary and so foolish.
And one of Khabib's teammates, I believe, Zubair Tohugov, landed a right hand flush on Conor McGregor in there. This is going to stain an incredible performance for Khabib Nurmagomedov, and out of character for him, too.
Yeah, this is not the way you want to represent the sport here.
I mean, this is just crazy.
Yeah. It's a habit.
It was insane. By the way, his name is Khabib. Sorry.
Not the way you want to represent the sport. Did any of them say that about Conor leading up to this? Between the throwing the dolly at the bus, between the trying to kick him during weigh-ins. They are so on Conor's D. It is unbelievable to me. This is all Conor's doing. All of this.
He inflamed it.
I mean,
absolutely.
He did inflame it. But that doesn't mean Habib should jump out of the ring. I mean, come on.
Here's the thing.
Both of them are to blame.
If anything goes before a fight, then anything goes in a fight, anything should go after a fight.
My disappointment is immeasurable. And my day is ruined.
Oh, no.
I will also say, I think what we're missing is that this entire culture is surrounding this kind of aggression.
It is.
This is what they want to happen. I hate to sound like a conspiracy theorist, but like this makes us talk about it. Like,
oh,
if it was just,
they love this.
If the fight was an easy win, which it technically was for Habib, like we wouldn't be speaking about it. And now it's another. They could get a rematch, and in real life, none of us cared until the end of it.
What?
That's true. Till after the fight. Yeah.
The Nevada State Athletic Commission is investigating. Dana has withheld the purse for the winner, right? The $2 million he's not going to get until that investigation is done. And he may be banned, right, from the UFC.
He could be stripped of his title. He could lose his visa and access to the United States or face criminal charges. And President Dana White said that three members of Nurmagomedov's entourage were arrested that night.
And those two other guys that jumped in and started it up with Conor after the fight are also UFC fighters, and Dana swears they will never fight in the UFC again as well.
But all of that is overshadowing what might be the greatest moment in sports, and that's heavyweight Derek Lewis.
I love him so much.
This was earlier in the night, before all of this took over the attention. And Derek Lewis is a giant black man, and doesn't really look like he's in shape.
Not at all.
He's exhausted. He gets beat up every time he's out there, but he's got enough power in one punch that he can knock someone out with one punch. So he's basically getting beaten all three rounds until maybe 10 seconds left. One punch knocks the guy out, wins the fight, and then for some reason takes off his pants, and the greatest interview in the history of sports happens with Joe Rogan and heavyweight Derek Lewis.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot. I understand.
I understand.
Jones completely understands it and moves on right there. That's the best.
That's our generation's Maya Angelou.
I'm here with the winner, Derek Lewis. Derek, why'd you take your pants off?
My balls was hot.
I understand. What you just did was absolutely phenomenal.
I told them boys, you know, they keep underestimating me. I ain't all that technical and all that, but I'm getting there.
You were looking for that big haymaker all night. You found it in the last minute of the fight. Talk us through this, Derek.
I forgot a few hours before the fight. Donald Trump called me.
Okay. All right. Hold on just a second. Yeah. I forgot a few hours before the fight, Donald Trump called me. This dude is crazy and funny as hell.
I forgot a few hours before the fight, Donald Trump called me and told me I got to knock this Russian motherfucker out because they're making him look bad on the news. You know, him and Putin and what they're talking about, USA and his home.
Listen, Derek, that made no sense whatsoever.
USA in this hoe.
You came into this fight the number two contender with that knockout. You're absolutely one of the top guys in line for a shot at the title next. So tell us what you think about that.
I need to sit my black ass down and do some more cardio. That's what you talking about right now. I ain't trying to fight for no title right now. I don't have no gas tank like that.
I got to tell you, it's the first time I've ever heard a fighter say, I want a title shot. Not say that, I mean.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He like, literally said, no.
It's a little early.
Listen, Derek, thank you very much for a really, really entertaining fight.
Thanks for having me. Hey, maybe next week or sometime or 2 weeks from now, I'm going to come on your show and smoke some weed with you.
Anytime, sir. Anytime.
I don't feel like that's going to help his cardio much, but.
No. Joe Rogan treating it like it's a Frost Nixon is also my favorite thing.
That was fantastic.
And it is 7:53.
Our friend Andrew Siciliano from the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone joins us coming up right after the top of the hour. Allie's here first. What's happening?
Will Idris Elba ever be James Bond?
Hope so.
It's a question that, you know, we keep asking, and then he's like, nope. And we're like, all right, for now. We know this. James Bond will never be a woman. Stop dreaming. In a new interview with The Guardian, longtime James Bond executive producer Barbara Broccoli said that 007 isn't a woman. And that's that. Here's her quote. Bond is male. He's a male character. He was written as a male, and I think he'll probably stay a male. Let's just create more female characters and make that story fit those female characters. It was written in the 50s, so there's certain things in Bond's DNA that are probably not going to change. I feel like you said probably there twice, though, Barbara Broccoli. If you're going to say it, say it.
Well, she's not going to live forever. The franchise will probably continue on without her. I'm fine with James Bond remaining a male. There's nothing wrong with that character always being male. But I will say, for 50 years, people said Doctor Who could only be a man.
That is true. Wasn't that premiere last night?
It sure was.
Did you watch it?
I sure did.
What'd you think?
Very entertaining. Well, she's a great actress.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's a great actress. It was Jodie Whittaker's debut as the new Doctor, and it was a really fun show.
But women, I mean, women can't even be doctors, so it's like none of this makes sense to me.
Very confusing.
What if James Bond had a daughter named Jamie Bond, and that's how they do it?
I mean, it's a stretch,
right?
But all
it's
right.
It's a stretch.
Okay.
It's a stretch.
I don't hate it.
I mean, James Bond is, you know, I'm speaking from a Bond enthusiast standpoint. Someone
expert,
who has seen multiple James Bond movies.
And by multiple, she means two.
Recently. Here's the thing. He's the quintessential dude.
Yeah.
He's just this dude that treats women like crap. He just has sex with women, discards them, smacks them on the butt. That's it. That's James Bond. That's who he is. We make James Bond a woman. That's not James Bond anymore. Thank you. So feel free to email me, Allie at K-Rock. All you angry women that say I'm not sticking up for you. I don't want to see a female James Bond. I don't want
to
see it.
You don't have to do that with every character that there is. She's right.
Make
new characters.
You don't. You guys.
And make them female. That's great.
James's daughter, Jamie.
I mean, I'm not going with that necessarily.
For you. I mean, come on. Kevin, horrible news.
Oh.
Scott Wilson, veteran actor who played Herschel Green on The Walking Dead. Passed away at the age of 76.
Yeah, I saw. It was like three seasons ago.
He died. No, in real life, he died.
Right. I mean, the guy that owned the farm where they were?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
In real life, he died,
yeah,
is
like
what I'm saying.
3-4 years ago.
No, the guy that played Herschel Green, who
Herschel,
was last on in 2014.
The guy with one leg.
Yes.
Yeah,
Scott Wilson, the
actor. The veterinarian,
actor.
Yes.
Yeah, like 3 years ago.
No, he died.
He hasn't been on for like 3 years.
Okay.
What's
right.
wrong with you guys?
All right. Herschel on the show died 3 years ago.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. The actor who played Herschel, Scott Wilson, unfortunately passed away this weekend.
Still talking about this.
That's a very fitting tribute to a fine actor.
Moving on, good Lord. Taylor Swift never wades into the political circus,
nightmare.
Dare I say. And she's gotten a lot of flack for that over the years because people think you have such a huge fan base and such a young fan base to get people interested in politics or voting would probably be a great thing.
I feel like that's 50-50. Like, everybody wants them to say something and then the rest of the people don't want them to
say
anything.
Well, depends on if you agree with her or not.
Pop star Taylor Swift is the latest in a long line of celebrities peddling death.
Well, I'm sorry, she's peddling death, is she?
Apparently so, yes.
So in an Instagram post just yesterday, she announced that she's going to be backing Tennessee Democrats Phil Bresden for Senate and Jim Cooper for House of Representatives. She states that she's been reluctant to publicly voice her political opinions, but she, quote, feels differently about that now due to several events in my life and in the world in the past 2 years. So she outlines in this Instagram post the reasons that she can't support the Republican Senate candidate in Tennessee, Marsha Blackburn. And people were losing their minds. First, that she even came out and said it. Then that she listed all the reasons. And she has 112 million followers on Instagram.
Look, as Tay-Tay goes, so the government goes.
I'm saying, here's the thing. It instantly was on NBC News, Fox News, CNN. It was like, boom, all these bullet points. It was insane how her just stating her opinion somehow was the most breaking news story of the day.
Now, may I play devil's advocate to this story?
Sure.
For
her?
Oh, dear Lord.
What? What
is it you think? Go ahead.
What do you think?
I don't know, but you love her and you're going to defend her no matter what. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I'm giving you the other side.
All right.
The other side is, oh yeah, now Taylor has something to say now that she just this weekend finished her U.S. tour. Now that she's sold tickets to all of those Republicans that she is now turning against, now she's brave enough to say something. Where was she before when it would have mattered in her pocketbook?
Mm.
Interesting.
Good point. But midterms are coming up. Makes sense. And it makes sense as a woman, if she's really feeling these things. It's been a tough couple weeks for ladies.
No, it really has. And I don't have any problem with what she said. I'm just saying that it has been politicized already. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, you just sold out two stadiums in Texas this weekend. You wouldn't have said that ahead of those shows when you were still trying to get us to buy tickets.
Everything is politicized. Yeah.
That's very
true. That's the problem.
Yeah.
Listen, register and vote. That's it.
Yes.
Whatever
and
you
I
want.
Believe we
Whatever
only have in California till October 22nd. And even if you think you're registered to vote, go online and check. Sometimes your name's just missing all of a sudden. It's not a good situation. But here's the thing. If Republicans do start like tearing up their tickets, come on, guys. You already bought those. I just want to let you know.
But you can own the libs if you deprive yourself of a great concert because of what the person said.
Well, we're talking about Taylor, first of all, so
right?
Slow down on the great.
Right.
Boom. Hey, some birthdays for you. Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, Matt Damon, Chevy Chase, and I will never forget the day when, Kevin, you explained Rallycross.
Come on now.
Hit it.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there are some good accidents happen in this. And not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else. And it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Oh,
straight filibuster.
Wow, Travis Pastrana, you listened to that and you didn't...
I'm not sure he was still on the phone.
He might have hung up.
Yeah, I believe so, yeah.
Well,
he's like, this guy just keeps talking. Why?
Happy birthday, Travis. And that's what's happening.
Andrew Siciliano, when the Browns win a game, you've never seen a happier person in the whole world. The video that you guys posted yesterday from the DirecTV Red Zone channel was awesome, Andrew.
Good morning, guys. Sometimes I should remember that there are cameras filming the faces that I make and recording the silly screams. Yeah.
I love that you're one of those fans, though, who thinks that the players on the field can hear you. You got to throw the ball. You got to throw the ball.
Everyone thinks that I actually wanted them to throw a flag. I said, now you've got
to
throw
it. It doesn't matter who you're talking to. They can't hear you.
You shut it.
Come on. All right. Andrew joins us.
You know.
Oh, I'm sorry. We were wrong about who you were yelling at.
They can hear you.
Andrew joins us every Monday morning. He's the host of the NFL Network's Up to the Minute and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. And so he sees every game all the time, always. And we got a lot to talk about. And let's get through it and start with the Rams. A far closer and more entertaining game than we had to expect. I don't know what the line was on that game, but I thought the Seahawks were going to go in there and lose by like 24 or something.
Yeah.
And it ended up going down to the last minute.
Yeah, a couple of things. The Seahawks pass defense has been better. Granted, you know, those numbers mostly were with Earl Thomas. Now they're without Earl Thomas. The Rams have had trouble stopping the run, and the Seahawks kind of ran right at them and were more physical, which at times was disconcerting for that Rams defense. The other thing is, too, and this has nothing to do with the Rams defense, you know, the Rams lose Brandon Cooks. That's the second concussion in like 9 or 10 months. Remember,
yeah.
He had one in the Super Bowl as well. They lost Cooper Kupp. He has a concussion, too. It was not easy, yet at the end, they still won and they still scored 30 points again for the fifth consecutive game.
Is that a record?
Absurd.
Is that a record over 30 points for 5 games in a row?
Yeah, I don't know. It's not a record, but the three of the previous 5 teams that have done it have made it to the Super Bowl.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot to be excited about if you're a Rams fan, that's for sure. And it was so fascinating to me when it came down to the end of the game and they brought out the kicker and it looked like they were going to give Seattle the ball back with 1.5 minutes to go. Pete Carroll calls a timeout
And then Sean McVay changes his mind and decides to go for it on 4th and inches and gets it. It ends the game.
You want to know why? Because he's Sean McVay.
I got to tell you, I've never been happier about a call. It's gutsy.
It was gutsy.
It's really, really questionable because if it goes the wrong way, you get a lot of criticism.
And Pete Carroll knows about those calls.
kidding. There are so many ways to unpack this. Number one, once Pete burned the timeout, that was his last time. I didn't make no sense why he took the timeout. McVay, I think, had the attitude, well, the heck with him. Let's end it. It's only 6 inches. Just go. Mm-hmm. You know, quarterback sneak. It should have never been in that position on first down on that possession, on that series, actually, or that set of downs. Todd Gurley ran for a first down. They didn't stop the clock and look at it. He clearly had a first down. They should have never taken Gurley's touchdown off the board earlier in the game. David Moore had a touchdown in which he stepped out of bounds for the Seahawks. I mean, there were so many calls that just make you want to kick something. And by the way, they did not have the video of me screaming at the Rams game.
That's too bad.
Not nearly as bad as the Browns.
Okay.
But there were some calls in that game. Regardless, Tom McVay said, to heck with it, I'm going for it. And it's what Jason Garrett didn't do in overtime last night, which has Jerry Jones openly questioning his coach in Dallas this morning.
Ooh. Oh, interesting.
Comfy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's talk about the Chargers real quick. The Chargers won. They look good. This was another situation. It's funny you talk about Pete Carroll. They had the opportunity to give Marshawn Lynch the ball on the one and decided, Derek Carr decided to throw it instead and got intercepted for the Raiders.
What?
That didn't help. Yes.
That's crazy.
When, I mean, how at this point can you not always give the ball to Marshawn on the one?
Even if it's not going to work and you know it's not going to work, you hand it to him.
Right.
Well, there's two parts to this. Number one, you should give it to him. Number two, the pass was just oof. I mean, like, Twitter blew up with smart football people saying, what is he doing there? And the he wasn't the play call. The he was the throw. Derek Carr. So I'm not suggesting that John Gruden is going to bench Derek Carr later in the season. But, you know, John Gruden is really, really, really good at taking subtle shots at people on the podium. And if you read between the lines, the stuff he's saying, it is uncomfortable about his quarterback.
Okay. All right. Besides officiating, the thing everybody was talking about, including you on the Red Zone, is what was going on with the kickers. I mean, there's no reason that one kicker having a bad day should affect anybody else, but it seemed like all over the league, kickers were missing everywhere, and no one more so than Mason Crosby for the Packers, right?
He missed five, and he's good. I mean, he's got gray hair.
I'm sorry, he missed five.
He missed five.
I'd like to just put it out there that I could play and miss five.
No,
I can
he missed
do that.
Five. But now, let's say this. The Rams and Chargers both won despite missing kicks. Mm-hmm. Okay, so yay to them. The Packers win the game with half those kicks made.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now three of them were like 30, 40, whatever. They're makeable, but they're long. One of them was 55, so give him some slack on that. He missed a couple of extra points, though, as well. It was the worst individual day for a kicker I have ever seen in the NFL, period. And it wasn't for a bum. It was for a reliable pillar of the Green Bay community.
Yeah, he was like 10 for 11 going into that game or something, right? I mean,
he's been around. Yes, he's been around forever. He is reliable. I mean, he is the kicker you rely on, and they lost the game because of him.
I'm with Bean in that it doesn't make sense that it seems like there's so many kicking issues this year on all different teams. I mean, you'd think it would be one team or and that's all. But it seems like this entire year has been a nightmare for kickers.
Yeah, it's not year. It is. And look, the Browns have cut their kicker. The Vikings have cut their kicker. They did that the same week. But my brother made the point yesterday, and I don't know that he's right, but it's something to think about. He said, well, when you keep cutting kickers, maybe kickers go out there now thinking if I miss, I'm going to get fired.
Oh, interesting. Because
the Rams
cut their kicker 2 weeks ago, too, remember?
They did, but he was the backup kicker who's in for their reliable kicker. And so now they're on their third kicker while they wait for their reliable kicker to get healthy.
All right, one more thing on kicking, and that is we have to give it up to Graham Gano, is it, for the Panthers?
Gano,
okay. The biggest game-winning kick ever? Did I hear somebody say that yesterday?
Yeah, it was 63 yards. It tied a record for the longest game-winning kick. It was 1 yard off the longest kick of all time.
That's unbelievable, isn't it?
He I don't think he had hit anything close to that either.
How many kickers in the league, if you set them up, could hit 63 yards, Andrew?
In practice, all of them.
Is that
really?
Right?
Really? Oh, wow.
I bet you in practice. Okay, let me take that back. I'd say two-thirds can do it in practice.
Mm-hmm.
I would say five could do it in a game.
I mean, there had to be something about that kicker that the coach thought, I'm going to put my field goal kicker out there at 63 yards.
He didn't have many other options.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Either that or just throw it up.
Right.
And I don't think any – here's the thing. It was going to go in from 70. I mean, it's not like it barely got over. It was a cannon shot.
That's amazing.
When it came off his foot – I mean, granted, from TV, look, it could always fall short, right? When you see the camera from behind the goalpost and off his foot, oh, that's good. Yeah, it could just die in the wind.
Sure.
Off his foot, it looked good, and it was halfway up the net. It was absurd.
That's astonishing. Well, it was a very exciting weekend of NFL action, Andrew. And as usual, you did a tremendous job over there on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Enjoy your day off, and we'll look for you the rest of the week as the host of the NFL Up to the Minute. Thanks for coming on, man.
You guys are too nice. You know that, right?
Sure. Jensen, I'm so glad you're in here. Mm-hmm. Among the many other things that you do, including, you know, your Get Up on This podcast, including the Drop the Mic TV show on TBS, you have been for many, many years a successful art gallery owner,
yes.
Gallery 1988 here in Southern California. And you're the guy we need to talk to about Banksy with.
I do know a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let me start the story, and then you weigh, and then I'll have you weigh in along the way, because it's one of, am I overstating it if I say it's one of the craziest things that's ever happened in the art world?
It is that.
Kevin, yes. Do you know about this?
I know nothing about this.
Oh, then you're going to love this so much.
All right.
Here we go from the CBS Evening News.
We end tonight in London, where a painting by the mysterious street artist Banksy was auctioned off last night for more than $1 million.
Okay, so let's backtrack for folks who don't know Banksy. He's predominantly known as an anonymous street artist, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. No one has ever technically seen his face.
Oh, really?
He was at the front of street art when it was just kind of becoming more than just writing your name on it. He became sort of a political commentary, and he's technically the king of stencil work. If you've seen stencil on the side of a wall.
King of stencil work.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you've seen a stencil of a character or anything, like, that's all kind of derivative of Banksy.
And
Thank you, Judson.
There you go.
And he works all over the world, basically. His stuff can show up anywhere, and nobody ever sees him put it up. And then people
He's an art ninja.
He is. Mm-hmm.
And then he started making, like, prints and paintings available of some of his stuff. And they're astronomically popular, right?
Yeah, and he started in the UK, and then he's had two shows in Los Angeles. Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt bought a bunch of work. He's become sort of the main artist to collect.
All right. So I'm going to go back to the beginning of the story, and we'll find out what happened to this million-plus-dollar painting.
We end tonight in London, where a painting by the mysterious street artist Banksy was auctioned off last night for more than $1 million and immediately self-destructed. Roxana Saberi has the story.
And immediately
what?
Self-destructed.
Kevin's face. What?
This is awesome all of a sudden.
Awesome.
Didn't care. Holy crap, I love it.
$1.4 million, Kevin. As soon as the hammer came down, a shredder inside the frame took the piece and just shredded it just like in your office. Down the frame, two-thirds of the painting.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
It's God.
Can you imagine winning that? And you're like, yes.
Well, here's the thing. It started to beep, which is, like, actually, to me, the scarier part of it all.
That's terrifying.
As soon as the gavel hit, beep started to go, and then it shredded. The kind of cool part about it is, and I don't know if Banksy picked it this way, it didn't shred the whole way.
Which is weird.
It went, like, halfway, so it's a painting in a frame that goes halfway, then becomes shredded pieces of paper.
Is it possible that that's the art?
Well, that's the thing. So,
okay.
So then yesterday, it came out, he posted a video of a few years ago.
Okay.
Him hiding.
He claims.
Well, yeah, he claims hiding the shredder inside of the frame. And he says if it ever goes to auction, I'll set it.
And isn't
Why?
He...
Does he not want it sold?
Yeah, he hates when his work is sold.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he also thinks it's insane how much art goes for
in auction, mostly
ridiculous.
Yeah, he'll do his own art shows and stuff, but he thinks the inflation of a Sotheby's or whatever, $1.4 million, is like no one should be paying that much
right.
for my paintings.
But that theory about him putting the battery, I assume it would need a battery, right, in the shredder, years ago, how would the battery still be good? Wouldn't it have had to be changed at some point?
You would think, again, Banksy has been beyond logic for so long that I've let go of it. I mean, he's such a good artist. The problem is a lot of people have like made it their personality. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's like an Urban Outfitter shirt at this point. But he is still so smart and so, he's just above and beyond anyone. His movie is so good. If you ever want to see, he made a movie called Exit Through the Gift Shop. He's just a really good artist, and this is just another example of him being ahead of everyone else.
And all those people that feel the need to like get to the bottom of this battery thing, let it go. That's not the point of this.
Right, you're missing the point. Let it be magic is what you're saying.
He either had a long-lasting battery or someone changed it. Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on, people.
Right. Let me play a little bit more because I have a couple other questions.
That's selling for $860.
Moments after Banksy's painting sold for nearly $1.5 million, it started falling through its frame, emerging in shreds, and setting off an alarm. A post on the artist's Instagram page hints that he pulled off the prank. The caption reads, "Going, going, gone." Banksy later posted this video online, revealing he had secretly built a shredder into the frame years ago, in case the painting was ever put up for auction. It's not clear how the shredding started or who shot this video, showing the shock sparked by the spectacular stunt.
Now, he would have had to have an accomplice, I assume, in the room, right, to hit a button?
Mm-hmm. He has a whole team, yeah.
Does he? Or can you remote do it with a phone, cell phone or something?
He has a whole team.
Wow.
Yeah, he's always doing...
This is so the opposite of what every other artist in the world does, I want to get as much money as I can.
No, he does not. And one of his most famous pieces is called Morons, and it's a picture of sort of a traditional auction house, and they're auctioning off a painting that just says, "I can't believe you guys buy this S-word."
And Kevin, to your question about the buyer and the number one and number two buyer were both on the phone, so they were not they were not there. We were not able to see their face.
Sotheby's auction house is brushing off suggestions it was in on Banksy's latest trick.
All right, now let me ask you about that, Jensen, because that's and sorry, Allie, there are people questioning this, because it was the last painting auctioned off, number 67 for such an important artist. A lot of people are saying they knew this was happening.
I would never think he would include them. I think he sees them as the elitists. I think he sees them as the idiots. I think the reason that went last, in my opinion, is it's Balloon Girl, his most overexposed painting ever made. Mm-hmm. It's the one that has been used in like college dorm rooms. It's like the one that he picked it on purpose. So this painting would have always went for too much money, and so it would always be sort of the main event.
Okay,
but I cannot imagine he would include an auction house.
That makes a lot of sense. All right, final clip.
Banksy collector John Brandler says the ruse has only raised the artist's prestige.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. It was the best publicity stunt he could think of.
Sotheby's has not revealed the identity of the buyer. Rena, you might think the artwork would now be worth less, but some art collectors predict the prank will actually cause the painting's value to rise.
Who would think it would be worth less?
That's an idiot? Awesome.
Of course it would be worth more. That would be the one that shredded at Sotheby's.
They are now saying it could be worth over $2 million as a result of this.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's his whole life.
He's a genius.
He's a genius in that. He's always been ahead of the curve. And even if someone had to use it as confetti, it would be the most expensive confetti.
Now, did he do that knowing that it would eventually be more expensive? Or was he really just trying to make a statement against the elite,
If the painting didn't come all the way out and it went halfway, I'm sure he knew where it was going, yeah. But if it was supposed to go all out, then I don't know what you would have been taking home other than some pieces of paper.
It would have been in a Glad bag or something, right?
Here's your painting.
Crazy story, Kevin. You got to watch the video.
That's insane.
It's unbelievable.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Great news is a thing that we bring you every Monday morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's coming up right after 9. First, Allie's here with What's Happened.
Well, October has kicked off with the biggest weekend in the month's box office history. That's thanks in part to Venom's whopping $80 million, bringing it to number one in the box office, followed by A Star Is Born. Yeah, that did pretty well. $42.6 million. That's quite a 1-2 punch
there. Most weekends, that's number one.
Yeah.
$42 million.
By far.
That's a lot of dough.
Absolutely. By the way, that movie was made on a budget of approximately $36 to $40 million. They got to be happy with that, right?
Now, Kevin, I know you hate all accomplished people.
Do I?
You do. If somebody like these 9-year-olds that go to college, you got
all those people annoy
me.
Yeah.
What about Bradley Cooper, who's one of the most talented actors in the world?
Yeah, he's impressive.
He couldn't be more handsome.
Yeah.
By all accounts, the nicest guy ever.
Okay.
This is his directorial debut, and apparently it's phenomenally done.
Okay.
He speaks multiple languages.
Right.
You gotta hate this dude. And
yeah,
everything
whatever.
He stands for.
I don't really care. I'm happy for him.
Really?
Thumbs up.
Wow. You're growing up. What a big boy you are.
Thumbs up.
Not, you're not seething with jealousy.
No,
you're
because
not Bradley Cooper.
Because he's not 9. You know what I mean? Like, he's, of course, he hit the DNA lottery, let's be honest.
Right.
Okay.
And he's accomplished. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He doesn't drive me crazy because he's not, like, super young and that accomplished.
Okay, all right. Okay. So took him long enough, he's earned it.
There was a guy in the LA Kings last night that was 19 that played in the game.
What were you doing at 19?
Throwing rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner.
Yeah.
And by the way, there were like 4 players from the Red Wings that were 19 or 20.
They're getting younger
it's
and
crazy.
Younger in the NHL.
So those people annoy me.
Right.
Take it easy. You're not supposed to be that accomplished till you're mid-20s at best.
Okay.
Fair enough.
All right.
All right. Well, so Venom number 1, A Star is Born number 2, number 3, Smallfoot, 14.4 million, followed by Night School, bringing in 12.3 million, and then rounding out the top 5, The House with a Clock in Its Walls. All right. Right.
Right.
So Omar was just in here. And I said, Omar, your hair looks really great today. And he's like, oh, thank you. And Chip said, oh, is it because you spent extra time? You were just bummed about the situation? He had no idea.
He didn't know.
I had to break the news to him in person.
Did he collapse on the floor?
I'm surprised he's not still on the floor crying. But if you guys don't know, Mike, the situation from Jersey Shore, well, he had to plead guilty to tax evasion. And he has been sentenced to 8 months. You guys, it's very concerning.
When
very
he goes concerning. Down, what hope is there for the rest of us?
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. It's just such a weird story. It's all of it is just so weird. And the pictures that came out in front of the courthouse, the whole cast of Jersey Shore was in front hugging them. Just weird.
Jersey Shore court.
Is it going to be a very special episode? Do they film it for the TV show?
It might need to be, absolutely.
Just in case you do get into a situation, I want to make sure that you are situated. Because if you do get into a situation with your situation, you may end up with a situation, and you may not like that situation.
That was his defense, unfortunately.
Yeah.
He represented himself. Not a good situation. What? You guys, Tina Turner, she reveals in an upcoming autobiography that she underwent a kidney transplant in Switzerland last year.
Holy crap.
And it was her husband that saved her life. She said she was suffering from kidney disease, and by 2016, her kidneys were at 20% and plunging rapidly. No one knew any of this, right?
No, she's very private.
Oh, goodness. So her husband... She said he shocked her by saying that he wanted to give me one of his kidneys. I could hardly believe it then, and there are times when I still can't believe it. When he thought about his future, he thought of me. My future is our future, he told me.
Wouldn't it be more shocking if your spouse declined to offer a kidney? Like, would you be surprised, Kevin, if your wife said, if I can, I'll give you a kidney?
Would I be surprised if she said yes? I mean, maybe not surprised, but I would be eternally grateful, I would
think. Of course.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean,
I don't think you would be shocked, though, because...
It's weird how shocked she seemed to be by this. And by the way, in America...
He's never been nice to me before.
In America, it's hard to get a kidney transplant over the age of 70.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, she's 78.
Oh, yeah.
So maybe that's a whole reason why, too.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm just glad she's okay. And by the way, I didn't get a chance to see it. I wanted to in London. The Tina Turner musical is just getting rave reviews. And I just read that it's coming to Broadway, too. They made a musical about her life that apparently is amazing.
She's
an amazing person.
She's an amazing woman. I don't know if you ever saw her live concert that was on. I don't even know what channel it was on. But my parents have watched it like 10 times, and I went to visit them over Thanksgiving. They're like, want to watch the Tina Turner concert? I'm like, what is happening with you? My dad's like, watch this. She's going to come out on this crane. And like, they're obsessed with Tina Turner.
They said, we can only nap so long.
How dare you?
Is that what gets
them
in the mood?
And it's getting shorter and shorter.
No.
Is watching Tina Turner what gets your parents hot?
She works hard for the money.
Can you blame him?
Huh?
That's not a separate.
Oh, shoot. I thought I was playing along for a second.
However, what's love got to do with it? Am I right?
Not a summer song.
Oh, I thought we were all having fun together.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Oh, Allie. That is so sweet that you think your parents are actually napping when they say they're napping.
Uh-huh.
Come on. You know they're getting it on.
Yeah, they are.
Oh, yeah. They're bumping uglies. And for your dad to go an hour and say it's over, that's pretty impressive. Wow. Your mom's one lucky lady.
Okay, man.
That is simply the best.
Okay. Oh, I see what you did. By the way, I got an email from my parents this weekend, and mm-hmm. I sent it to Chip, and I just wrote, God, I hope they're talking about the Red Sox. Because all my dad wrote in the subject line was, the bullpen stinks. And I was like, oh, no. What are they up to?
That's a terrible visual.
That's a terrible visual.
It's the worst. All right. Some birthdays for you. Chevy Chase, Matt Damon, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars, and Travis Pastrana, and that's what's happening.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 9:37.
I love how Jensen suddenly appears in the studio whenever there's an Imagine Dragons song playing. It's like a dog whistle just for him.
My bat signal.
He can't resist it.
Yeah.
All right, time for a final look at what's happening here on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Allie.
Good morning. Well, the rumors came true. In the final hour of Cal Jam on Saturday, Dave Grohl was back behind the drum kit, closing out the second year of his annual rock festival with a 6-song Nirvana reunion.
Yes!
Reunion not included.
Well, I mean, it was Pat Smear,
mm-hmm.
and it was Dave Grohl,
Jack.
And Chris Novoselic.
Right.
Correct.
Good.
And
who's that other guy?
Well, he was not going to make it.
Oh, not okay.
Late? Kurt was not very late.
Late, okay.
Yes, Kurt was not going to make it. But they did have Deer Ticks, John McCauley, on stage. He was joined by them and did the song Serve the Servants, as well as kind of some deeper cuts. So they did Serve the Servants, Scentless Apprentice, In Bloom, and he sang them, and he was amazing.
Is that right?
People were losing their minds with that.
Chip, you were there. That was good.
It was awesome.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah, his voice is incredible. Then for the final 3 Nirvana tunes, they were joined on stage by Joan Jett. And they kicked that off with Breed, and then they did this one.
We have video of that on Kevin and Bean Instagram at Kevin and Bean.
Excellent. So did some Smells Like Teen Spirit, and then the night closed with Joan Jett leading them through All Apologies.
Sounds like that dude, whoever he is over drumming, right?
Wow. That animal from Muppets?
Right.
Wow.
With me.
I know this is, we talked about earlier how this is the summer of great documentaries. I still haven't gotten to the Joan Jett documentary, which I hear is wonderful as well. That's out now.
I haven't seen it. What is it called?
I don't recall.
Reputation.
Reputation. There it is. Reputation. Yeah.
Do you guys remember Puddle of Mud?
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
That guy sounded just like Kurt Cobain. I mean, I know that it's easy to S on Puddle of Mud because they weren't good, and I stand by them not being good.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But that dude sounded just like Kurt, like
really?
Karaoke. Yes.
I never noticed that before.
Yeah. He sounded...
The blurry guy.
The what?
The blurry guy.
Oh, yeah. Everyone's blurry to me. I don't know where my glasses are. But I do genuinely stand by the idea that if Nirvana reunited and the crappy dude from Puddle of Mud sang... Close your eyes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Is that the guy that's had some issues?
Oh, I mean, I would assume so. He came, he was signed by Fred Durst, so that's enough to me to assume that you have issues. But yeah.
But is he the one that had, like, a lot of issues?
Yeah, I think.
I'm just guessing,
breakdown on stage and stuff, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes, Allie.
Put him in Nirvana.
Is he the one that...
Yeah. Can't go worse than the first singer.
Ooh.
All right, welcome to the show.
That was Jensen, everybody.
Welcome to the show.
Jensen.
It's official now.
Oh, dear Lord.
Do you guys remember hearing about this Barbie movie back in the day? And by back in the day, 2014, Mattel announced that they were partnering with a major studio for a film based on the popular doll. At one point, Amy Schumer was supposed to play Barbie. Mm-hmm. Then she dropped out due to scheduling conflicts.
And due to the fact that it was a terrible idea for a movie.
And then Anne Hathaway stepped in. And then the release date moved from August 8th of this year. And now it's moved to May 8th of 2020. And then it stalled again. They're not giving up, guys. No, no. Because now Margot Robbie is in talks to produce and star in what they're calling the long-awaited Barbie movie. Is anyone waiting for this?
I don't think so.
No.
No. Maybe just say we're done with it and move on. No?
And I'm going to tell you something else. You could probably speak to this more than I could, Allie, but I feel like we're getting to a turning point in society with sexualizing little kids and what they know about women and their bodies, that a Barbie is not going to be an acceptable gift for a kid anymore pretty soon here.
I get that, but I think the point of the movie, at least when Amy Schumer was supposed mm-hmm. to be in it, was how she didn't fit in the Barbie world. So she was kind of doing her own thing. That was kind of the unique spin on the movie, because everyone was like, she can't play Barbie. She's not thin.
Oy. And then she took that idea, probably, and that's probably what ended up making that model movie.
I see
yeah.
what you did. You're saying she stole stuff.
I can't wait for that movie.
You can.
The Barbie movie.
Such a weirdo.
I don't know who was long awaited by.
So weird. Did you guys see the video between dude from Insane Clown Posse and Fred
yeah.
Durst?
Hell yeah. This is my UFC.
It is.
I'm ready for this.
It is very odd. Yeah. Shaggy 2 Dope.
Yep.
Attempted to take a running leap at Limp Bizkit frontman Fred Durst.
He's come up twice.
Mid-show, he tried to take a running leap and missed him.
He did technically a drop kick.
Yeah, but yeah. made no...
Didn't really connect.
No connection
is
at all.
A drop kick? It's just a drop then.
Yeah.
He just dropped, yeah. yeah.
It's a jump.
Yeah. Hmm. In what he claimed was a prank, according to multiple reports, but... They posted it online, and Fred Durst wrote, "What a pee. Couldn't even pull it off. What is happening on this stage that if he did pull it off, he kills Fred Durst, essentially?"
I have a better question. Fred Durst is still performing?
And
well,
technically
yes.
headlining if he went last,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, this was Saturday's Rock Allegiance Festival in New Jersey.
That makes sense.
What's happening in New Jersey, right? Yeah.
By the way, I'm all about Shaggy 2 Dope in mm-hmm. that battle.
Like, okay, so you have him in
Shaggy
ICP?
Dope.
Oh, by far. Yeah, if you want to dropkick Fred Durst, right. I pledge allegiance, rock allegiance to you.
Were they in some sort of beef before? Or?
I don't think so. I mean, I would doubt it. I mean, other than being two guys that would play rock allegiance in New Jersey.
True.
That's their real similarity.
I don't know. Maybe he cut in front of him at catering. Something. Yeah. Something went down.
Yeah, I got an argument at a Cracker Barrel.
You never know. You I never
do love,
know.
I do love the Juggalos, though, don't you?
Yes. Whoop, whoop.
I adore them.
I'll tell you what. When a Juggalo and a Juggalette is someone who's down with the clown until they're dead in the ground.
I mean, I absolutely am down with the clown until I'm dead in the ground.
Family. Family.
We love Justin Long.
Yep. Is that a story?
That's
or
it. Some birthdays for you. No. He's headed to the small screen with a reoccurring role on ABC's upcoming Roseanne spinoff, The Conners. According to Deadline, he's going to play Neil, a love interest for Sarah Gilbert's character, Darlene. I just said Gilbert.
You did.
Like I'm from Massachusetts or something. Sarah Gilbert.
Don't be ridiculous.
That's crazy talk, you guys. You want some birthdays?
Sure.
Great. Chevy Chase, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Matt Damon, Nick Cannon, Bella Thorne, Bruno Mars. And when Travis Pastrana came in, the way that you explained Rallycross was a thing of beauty.
And why was I explaining it to him?
No idea.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
That's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there are some good accidents. happen in this, and not just with cars on cars. You hit posts or something else, and it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
Well, that was a moment with Kevin.
I'm not even positive he was still on the phone at that point.
Kevin's explaining.
He may have been gone.
Absolute pure
Thank
genius.
You. Yep. Thank you, sir.
Fabulous.
Thank you.
Stand up and applaud.
Thank you.
This one is top of the charts.
Appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you.
That is exquisite.
Thank you.
That is orgasmic.
All right.
Mozart, like,
Take it easy.
It's just pure perfection.
All right.
Beautiful.
Okay.
All the chemicals are bubbling, and all the equation comes out right in the end.
All right. Sounds like you enjoyed it.
There were like 3 or 4 times you could have stopped in there. Can we hear it again?
I could have taken a lunch.
Let's do it.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin.
That's so crazy. The dirt's so slippery, then you hit the pavement. Sometimes that's more sticky, sometimes it's slipperier. But there are some good accidents happen in this. And not just with cars on cars. You hit, posts or something else. And it seems like avoiding that is the biggest key to winning that race.
That right? was a moment with Kevin.
I stand by that.
Yeah, you should.
So many outs.
A gift from the gods. Greater than a bullfighter with no lip.
Okay, take it easy.
Well said, Kevin.
Oh, that's what's happening.
Heartbreak turns into sheer delight. Orgasmic jubilation.
Okay, all right.
Absolutely breathtaking.
Yep. On your drive home.
As electrifying as a hairdryer thrown into a hot tub, my friend.
Right. All right. On your drive home today.
Heroic stuff.
On your drive home.
Oh, you see those tears. Look at them. Teardrops the size of pineapple chunks.
On your drive home today, listen.
Like Betamax. You do not make them like him anymore.
Listen to the commercial-free 5.
Oh, man, is there going to be some loving going on tonight?
The commercial-free 5 p.m. hour.
I want to be like him.
A random act of helpfulness.
That's not human.
From the
and it is not.
SoCal.
It is superhuman.
From the SoCal helpful Honda dealers.
Uh-huh. It's perfection.
Wow. That was good.
That's fine.
Tomorrow, People Are Dumb, oddly enough, hosted by me.
Oh.
Shabo in studio as well, talking about System of a Down.
By the way, let me just say, this is a huge, huge interview because Shabo apparently is introducing his new strain of weed that he wants to tell us about.
All right. Mm-hmm.
So thanks to Shabo, you're going to be able to legally buy pot in California, is my read on this. So
my
hail Shabo.
Well, I mean, depending on whether he brings samples.
Okay,
right.
Fair enough.
That's fair. And also tomorrow is Tuesday, Bloody Tuesday. It's our blood drive tomorrow at Hollywood Park Casino, hosted by Brad Williams and Beer Mug. It's from 5:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. We've got tons of prizes just for coming down and giving blood. And that is tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.